Yes, yes, yes. Welcome back to the podcast. Beloved, this is indeed your brother Big VJ checking in. Today's conversation, we're going to talk about how the original man in the hills of North America, in a territory that we call the United States, is in love with his master. Right? That's all we're going to talk about today. How our people have a deep, deep infatuation, a deep love, a deep concern. I'm talking about the biggest heart in the world for our open enemy. And we're also going to talk about how forgiveness is a tool that was taught to us, and we are only trained to use this tool of forgiveness when something happens to us. We don't see this tool when we do something to them. We only see this tool when something happens to us. How do we know this is how it works? Because, beloved, we had a wise woman that lived amongst us. Peace be upon her. She's no longer here. Her name was Dr. Cress Welsing. And our queen mother taught us about this trickery tool of forgiveness. She taught us about it. She gave us examples. She told us how it's used. And we noticed that this tool is not used between the black seed and the black seed. This tool is not even used with the black seed and the brown seed. This tool is only used when the so-called white seed does something to the black seed. And the black seed, after being a victim, is trained to forgive to the so-called white seed to move forward. But when the shoe is on the other foot, and it kind of looks like it was a confrontation, and the black seed is the victor. She's the victor. That so-called white seed don't come back and say, well, we forgive you for your actions. It just doesn't happen. So let's have that conversation today. And I got an article that I want to read. It's a oldie but goodie. Beloved, it came out in 2016. They put it out again in 2017. But everything that took place is in 2005. And I can submit to you, they keep publishing this old article to further get us into the mind frame of the trickery of forgiveness. Now, I'm all for forgiveness, beloved. Before we go further, I am all for forgiveness. But I feel as though that forgiveness is something that a person of one nature gives to someone else of the very same nature. You dig what I'm saying? Because it's a mishap. It was a fault, right? The sheep should forgive the sheep. You know what I mean? The lion should forgive the lion. The leopard should forgive the leopard. Just let it go. But I don't think that a sheep can forgive a wolf, because that's not how does that work. It's in the wolf nature that they're going to do that 10 times out of 10. It's in the wolf nature to attack you. I don't think that the chicken should forgive the fox, because why would you forgive a fox? It's the fox's nature to do this to you 10 times out of 10. The fox is not doing nothing out the ordinary. He's just doing his nature. So I don't like, nah, you don't get into that. The mice ain't shouldn't be trying to run around and forgive the snakes about what the snake did. No, this is the serpent's nature to do this, right? When you see our people forgiving a devil, why would the righteous go out of their way to tell the devils we forget? He's going to do this 10 times out of 10. They don't have no other nature. We'll talk about it. You know what I mean? We talk about it. We got an article up. And look, this is how this whole conversation came about. In the great state of Missouri, it was a fight that took place. The fight was put on video because, you know, our people just feel the need that anytime you act savage to pull the phones out, record it, and then upload it to social media so millions of people can see it, right? Anytime there's some tomfoolery going on, our people just, I don't get it. They just feel, I don't get it. I mean, I'm like, damn, it's more fight videos and twerk videos than, where's the video of Lil TT having the first, taking the first steps? Where's the video of TT and them graduating from elementary school and middle school? And there ain't that many of them videos floating around. But if TT become a teenager and she get into a fight, goddammit, then they gonna make sure they get the phone out. You know, we got TT. We don't have TT's first step on camera, but we got TT's first fight, her second, third fight, everywhere. This is, it's some savage shit that we do, and I don't, it's just, but listen, we understand that it's a lot of poison and rust on our people, right? In Missouri, though, teenage young lady, sister, mother civilization, get in a fight with a Caucasian female. We know, right, before we even go into it, Caucasian is weak blood, weak bones, and weak genetics. And we know that genetically, you know, black women, black teenagers, they're going to be more stronger, more agile, because it's the biological makeup of the black man and the black woman.
It is clear that we're in crisis.
Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey also making his concerns heard with youth violence, specifically addressing the 15-year-old girl in juvenile custody for the Hazelwood fight.
The attacker continues to bludgeon the victim's head against the hard pavement, even after the attacker has rendered the victim incapable of fighting back and had opportunity to disengage from the fight.
This week, we learned there will likely be a court hearing within the next few weeks to decide if the juvenile will be tried as an adult.
There is no discretion here. The court has to hold a certification hearing. When you have teens who should know better, who do know better, and they're committing adult crimes, there needs to be adult punishment.
They go out in the streets of Missouri, they have a fist fight. Shamika knocks Becky to the ground, but once you get Becky to the ground, she scrub her out. She takes her head and she banging it on that concrete. I've seen it. You've seen it. Law enforcement seen it, right? The Caucasian teenager was in bad shape, right? After this altercation, horrible shape. They tried to make the sister look even worse than what it was, because the sister was like, you know, they edited the video to make it look like it wasn't a real confrontation. But it was, right? Okay. Now you hearing murmurs of them trying to charge the young teenage sister as an adult and all of this and all of that. But we kind of know that's how everything works in the judicial system, right? We get that part. I said all that to say this, though. This happened maybe like a couple of weeks ago now. They've been reporting on the condition of the young Caucasian teenage female, and because it left everybody in a comatose kind of like, you know what I mean? But the Caucasian female went out. You know what I'm saying? She blacked out. They had to put her on oxygen. She wasn't able to breathe on her own. She was put on ICU, right? They was raising a lot of bread to help out the family. Last time I checked, it was up to like 41 grand. Now, here's where we look for what you've been taught. We haven't seen the so-called white community that's witnessing this situation, or the family that is involved in this situation, come out and say, well, we forgive the Shamika family for what happened. We forgive Shamika and we forgive her family for what happened. And we just want to move forward. That never happens. They never come out when you look like you're the victor. They don't do it. Say, hey, we forgive you. We forgive you. They don't do it. It's a Dr. Chris Wilson, peace be upon her, she's no longer here. She brought this to my attention. Anytime it's a violation, you are taught as the original man and woman, the black seed, to forgive them for doing that to you. And you go public with that. I don't care what happened. You get a microphone, you go public. But when they do, when the shoe is on the other foot, they don't do that for you. They don't do that. Dr. Chris Wilson starts talking about how Dr. William Cosby got in that deal with those crackers in Pennsylvania and in Hollywood, those females. And they didn't come out and say, well, you know, it happened so many years ago. Bill wronged us. But you know what? We forgive him. He didn't know any better. We forgive him. They don't say that. Something goes down, a shooting of some sort, and they're the victim. They never come out and say, well, we forgive the perpetrator for doing this and that. And no, they don't. Yet, when you are the victim, they make sure you're trained to come out and say, we know Dylann Roof did this, and we know Dylann Roof did that, but you know what? We forgive old Dylann. We love him, and we're praying that he... I'm like, well, how does that work? Why do you have that? But somebody put that there. That is a chip that was put there by your open enemy. Because they taught you to use that as a tool in combat. They don't even use it. They just taught you to use it. They don't use it. We're going to read an article today. And beloved, when we read this article, we're going to show you that that chip had been activated. Because we're going to talk about our brother McGee, you know what I mean? And if you're going to be triggered, you might want to leave now. Because our brother did something that, in our estimate, he could have let that alone and did not do. Right? Again, we come from CBS News. Look at the headline. How does that even make sense? Innocent man ends up pals with crooked cop that framed him. How can that even, that doesn't even make sense from the headline. Let's take a look and see what the article says. And beloved, I can assure you this. For this to come out in 2005, they re-released this article like every year. They re-release it like every year, like this is something to aspire to look up to. I'm like, this is technology at its finest. This is technology. This is the media at work. Everything takes place in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Shout out to our brother Marcus Muhammad. Right? He's trying to do an amazing thing out there. Right? And, you know, we support our brother. When he was running, we gave our brother a lot of support. And let's see what happens out there in the city of Benton Harbor. The article reads, it all went down on a block in Benton Harbor, Michigan back in 2005. Jamel McGee says he was minding his own business when police officers accused him and arrested him for dealing drugs. Let's stop. Innocent man went to jail. Your brother went to jail. Who put him in jail? His enemy. His open enemy put him in jail. Do you see how they treat our people in South Africa? I don't want you to think it's just an American cracker that's doing this to you. Do you see how they treat our people in South Africa?
Bob,
how the devil treat our people in South Africa. They come out with the dogs, they put the dogs on our people, and it's just his nature, man. It's just his nature. The trick bag that they try to put our people in is they try to sell you the blood theory. Say, oh man, you know, we the same black man. We the same red man. We the same brown man. Look, we all bleed red blood. How many of us heard those devils say that to us? We all bleed red blood, right? But you know what we say when you got knowledge yourself? The horse bleed red too. The jackass bleed red too. That deer that got hit on the side of the highway, that's roadkill, he bleed red too. Is that your brother? The possum and the rat bleed red, brother. Huh? The zebra bleed red, sister. Is that your folks too? Don't let that cracker put you in no trick bag talking about y'all got the same blood. No, y'all ain't the same. Your nature is different. The article I'm going to read to you here that happened in the hills of North America, in the territory that we call the United States, the South African got the same story. The West African got the same story. The Central African got the same story. East African got the same story. They got the same story in Brazil. Same story in Chile. Or should I say Central America? It's the same story everywhere you go because he has the same nature. It was all made up, said McGee. Of course, a lot of accused men make that claim, but not many arresting officers agree. Quote, I falsified the report, unquote, former Benton Harbor police officer Andrew Collins admitted. Quote, basically, at the start of the day, I was going to make sure I had another drug arrest, unquote. And in the end, he put an innocent guy in jail. No, he didn't only put an innocent guy in jail. He put many innocent people in jail. Because this devil's motivation was, like he said, basically at the start of the day, he was going to make sure he had another drug arrest. Now, what do you think that devil learned that from? He's new on the force. He working the beat. You think he just figured that out? No, he watched other officers do the same thing. And these brothers is getting 30 days, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 4 years, sick for shit they didn't even do. See, his nature is not like yours. You can be wicked, right? Let me just pivot and say this. See, the best that niggas can be is wicked. Niggas don't have the power to be evil. But you, if you try to reverse that and say, well, let's find the black and brown seed officers that just go out into the suburbs and they pick on crackers and they just put falsified, they don't exist. Because our people, we can be wicked, but we're not evil. But they would do things on a level of evilness that y'all people would never get into. Y'all folks ain't gonna do no shit like that. He woke up every day and someone put a nigga in jail. This is why we talk about our salvation. The devil woke up and said, I'm going to put a nigga in jail every day. I'm going to give me a drug arrest. I'm going to put a nigga in jail every day. You know the demographic of Benton Harbor? Take a guess. And he woke up every day with the motivation of, I'm going to put a nigga in jail by any means necessary. And he was successful. Quote, I lost everything, unquote. This is McGee. This is the brother speaking. My only goal was to seek him out when I got home and hurt him. So the brother got the motivation like, all right, this guy didn't put me in jail. The devil didn't put me in jail. But when I get up out this motherfucker, when I see dog, I'm going to hurt him. I don't give a damn if he's still a law officer. I don't care what's going on. I'm going to hurt him when I catch him, right? Well, let's see what happened when he's seeing his open enemy. Let's scroll down and keep reading and see what happened. Eventually, that crooked cop was caught and served a year and a half for falsifying many police reports, planting drugs, and stealing. And they only gave him a year and a half. And he changed your people's life forever. You know, if you just falsify some reports, right? and you get a sister or a brother, they get 30 days in jail. They get 6 months in jail. Look at the time they got away from their family, their freedom, their loved ones, their job. Okay, now they out. How they gonna get another job? They saying, look, the guy arrested me for nothing. He made it all up. But you know what? That's on your record. Now you're trying to find employment. You can't find employment now because you're a jailbird. You are already at the back of the line. Now you're under the back of the line. Now you really do turn the crime. And then you get out there and you get caught the second time, which is really the first time. And now you're really screwed. But that didn't matter. Because the devil's job is to make sure he puts you at a lower position every day. So when we have conversations, I'm like, bro, don't you know that these folks wake up every day to make sure you're lower than what you was before? They got the whole country. They are harassing the whole world, and it's still not enough. It's their nature. It's the nature. You put the fox and the chicken in the same room, and 10 times out of 10, the fox is going to do the same thing all the time, every time. Eventually, that crooked cop was caught and served a year and a half for falsifying many police reports, planting drugs, and stealing. This is their nature. Before I take you to jail, let me get that wedding band. Let me get that necklace. I don't care if you got that ring or that jewelry from your grandfather or your great-grandfather, right? It's a family heirloom. I don't care where you got that chain from. I don't care if your daughter bought that for you or your son bought that for you, and especially to you, I'm going to steal it. How much you got? How much money you got in the wallet? It's mine. I don't care if your family could have came up and picked up this and got this money for that. No. I'm going to steal it because this is my nature. Of course, McGee was exonerated, but he still spent, this is the brother, 4 years in prison for a crime he did not commit. Today, both men are back in Benton Harbor, which is a small town, maybe too small.
Damn you!
Last year, by sheer coincidence, they both ended up at a faith-based employment agency, Mosaic, and they now work side by side in the same cafe. All right, so this is how life brings everything back around. The brother did 4 years. The devil did a year and a half. He should have got 10, 15, maybe 20, but they didn't because they don't know justice. You do. He got a year and a half for ruining your people's life. He gets out. He gets a job at the cafe. The brother, after doing 4 years in prison, being away from his family, his loved ones, his village, his everything, his freedom is gone. He in the box smelling feet, fighting, getting traumatized, every goddamn thing. That man went to prison. It's Michigan now. Ain't no goddamn walk in the park up there now. Come on now. Ain't no walk now. They send you upstate. Ain't no walk in the park up there. He's not from Detroit, beloved. He's from Benton Harbor. Detroit niggas run the prisons. You go to prison, Detroit niggas run the prisons up here. Come on now. You know how it go. Big bank take little bank. Big cities is running these small cities as in prison. He don't got no business even being there. Let's see what happens, right? Let's see what happens. When the devil seen him, you know what the devil said he told the brother? He said, I'm sorry, man. I got no explanation. All I can say is I'm sorry. That's what Collins told the original man. Now, let's see what the original man, what his response was after losing 4 years of his life. McGee said that's all it took. The brother said that's pretty much all he needed to hear. Today, the article says, not only are they cordial, they're friends. They're so close friends that McGee tell Collins he loves him. Let's stop. We're going to stop right there. We're going to stop right there because they got a big old photo shoot. And this shoe shine ass nigga is showing all 58 of his teeth. and the devil got his arms around him, and he got his arms around the world's devil, Shaitan himself, Massa, and they look like they've been the best buds ever, right? But when you're a man and you got knowledge of self and you look at the photo, you can see that even in the smile, that cracker looks evil. He's wicked. You can look at this. He almost looked like he's an extraterrestrial almost. Like he don't really belong on a planet. And he got a, but you got to look at it with your spirit, your third eye. He looks evil taking a photo op with the brother. These are people, beloved, that they love to like package their kill in an imagery. And it looks like he took 4 years of his brother's life and he got his arm around him, and it's kind of like it's a smile, but it's kind of like a smirk at the same time. And he like, he got this look, this vibe, like, look how stupid this nigga is. But the nigga, our brother the Shoeshine, he's got a genuine love for his master. You can see it in the photo. The devil standing up there like, look at this nigga. And he's going to take that photo and he's going to frame it of whatever office he in, whatever job he got. He's going to put it right next to the deer head. He's going to put it right next to the deer head. Because they love to just see things on this planet that they conquered. They're a baby on this planet. They haven't been here for long. So they just look around. They love to see things that they conquered. They put deer heads and crocodile heads, and they get these stuff. They love to show their kill off. He ruined his life, brother, and he don't care nothing about it. Now they go on tour. They do speaking engagements together. Can you imagine that? That chip is working, beloved. This is the reason why you love your master so much, because you were taught to do that. Now, let's look at the black seed with the black seed. How come the moles and the folks and the vice lords and the pyros and the bloods and the... Come on. How come we can't get the GDs and the BGs and... How come it doesn't work like that when it's just y'all, but anytime it's them, this is how it works. They taught you how to love your enemy. This is the reason why they hurry up and gave you the religion that they gave you. It was imperative that you had this religion. Take a guess what the brother religion is. I ain't gonna say, because take a guess. Take a guess. He been raised looking at these stained glass windows, and he been raised looking at the hippie with the light thing behind his head, and he been raised to see God as this complexion because they teach you colorism, and the angels is this complexion and all of this, and there's no way he said that's all I need. Listen. After 4 years in prison, when that devil said out of a trickery state, he didn't apologize. I'm sorry. It's just a trickery thing. That's not, he didn't mean that. He said, man, that's all it took. That's all it took. But look how we do each other. Look how we do each other. Now, if this same brother got roped up in jail with another... Oh, man, you know Tank ain't nothing but a rat. And when I get out, I'm going to handle Tank. Tank, he would have told the whole hood, man, Tank a rat. Tank a rat, man. You see here, man, it's on sight. It's this and that. But when the devil do it, it's not on sight no more. It's a hug. It's a picture. It's a photo op later. Man, this cracker done took 4 years of your life. We'll leave it there. Because we know, beloved, you were taught the art of forgiveness, right? What's the brother name down in Texas, right? What's that brother name in Texas that he lost his life to crack and went into the wrong apartment? Listen how silly the story is. They in Texas some goddamn way in Dallas, and this goddamn she-devil walking around in this apartment complex, she go in the wrong apartment, and she end up shooting a brother that lives there, right? Taking his life. He's a Haitian brother. I'm guessing he's Haitian because his name is Jean. And we know that the French devils took advantage of our brothers in the Caribbeans, and you know what I mean? So, okay, boom. That's what took place, right? Now, they in the courtroom. Cause I'm finna show you this chip, how this chip work. It's activated now. Cause see, you've been victimized by the devil, so the chip goes on. And they sit in the courtroom, and then you see the victim's brother, right? He goes over to hug Amber, and he gives her a tight hug, and Master, I forgive you. And the goddamn judge, our sister now, I never seen this shit, come down from the bench and also hug this devil as well. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm in a Twilight Zone. What the fuck is going on? But I know what I said. Well, see, they got a love for their master. They have a love for their master. A chip had been placed in them at birth. And it's just work. The program works. That's all. The program works. Michigan, right? The great state of Michigan has sentenced over 360 minors to life without parole. Right? More than any other state. More than Pennsylvania. Because, you know, Pennsylvania sending everybody in Philly. They just doing it. But just think that the great state of Michigan is doing that. And you know what? It's no uproar. It's no nothing. Because your enemy is no nothing. But let one of us do half of this to somebody else that look like us. And it's all out war forever. Peace and black power to your family. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. This is indeed Real Black Content Reform Podcast. This is your brother V. Avoid crackatosis at all costs. Avoid mastitosis at all costs. And until next time, beloved, we'll get up with you guys later. Peace, peace, beloved, and more peace.
I can only repeat it that I think that you see just automatic forgiveness when it comes to black people being harmed or killed or injured by people who classify themselves as white. We don't hear people who are white if they have feel they have sustained some injury or harm from a black person. We don't hear them saying, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive. And I was saying in a talk recently, no one asked the white females who lined up and were accusing Bill Cosby of having sexually or date raped them. And no white person would say to them, one or more, or all of them, a long time has passed. Don't you think it's time for you to forgive Mr. Cosby? Nobody would ever think of that. Do you see, nor would anybody think to ask a Semite of the Jewish religion, well, have you forgiven the German people? Have you forgiven the Nazis for what they did? Do you see, nobody would even think of saying that. So I think that it is a part of black people's tradition from the time of enslavement. Do you see where the slave master could beat the black person? And I could just envision the black person being beaten and the slave master or the slave mistress would be saying, say that you forgive me. Do you see? And then giving them another lash. Say that you forgive me. And so the black person doesn't have a choice but to say, I forgive, Master. I forgive. I forgive. I forgive. And I don't want to show any disrespect to the mother of Mr. Walker. I mean, I certainly understand what has happened to black people and where that pattern comes in. But when we were in formal slavery, I heard a white female explain to a young black man, this was at a race relations institute a number of years ago, and the young black man in a small group discussion, he said, I don't believe in racism, I'm a Christian. And an older white female said to him, son, we, meaning we white people, gave you that tradition, we gave you that religion. And we emphasized three things. Slave, obey your master. Turn the other cheek, and you will get your reward in heaven. And so that is the yoke that black people, I say by and large, are still under. And most black people are not thinking about or understanding that we are in a total system structure of racism. Well, see, you can't run an oppressive state, or plantation, or a prison and have the inmates become angry at the jailer. So you, if possible, you engage in the psychological warfare of teaching them a philosophy of forgiveness. Now, the prisoner or the slave on the plantation hasn't been let free. The prisoner in the prison hasn't been said, we forgive you, and so your sentence is terminated. No one is speaking to the prisoner or the slave on the plantation in that way. But the plantation is run by beating, well, first and foremost, I would say, and maybe somebody will be offended, I would hope not, that when you give the enslaved Africans an image of God that is the same image of the slave master, and say that you must behave yourself so that this image of God, which is the same image as the slave master, so that God will love you and admit you into heaven. You must forgive the slave master. Now, that was the position that black people were in for hundreds of years during the years of formal enslavement. And what could they do about it when they were beaten and killed at whim? You see, and so that's when these ideas were implanted, and we must begin to step back and view them more objectively and understand that this is an aspect of the maintenance of oppression. And those black people who are admonishing black people that they should forgive, I would say that those people have been harmed by having their self-respect as black people annihilated, whether they're conscious of it or whether they are subconscious.
Now, on this next clip, you're going to hear Dr. Francis Cress Wells sing, lay out when we should forgive. Let's go ahead and roll the clip.
And if we as black people decide that we are going to respect ourselves, and this is one of the things that has happened to black people in the 500 years of our oppression, including the phase of slavery, formal slavery, is that black self-respect has been completely annihilated. And so, you know, we say, okay, I forgive, and then we take the pain and frustration out on each other. It's just like in South Africa, truth and reconciliation. So the people who brutalize black people are allowed to go unpunished. But the pain that is inside of black people goes out towards one another, and the system of racism, white supremacy, continues. So I am making the recommendation for black people's mental health that black people take the position that all of these things that we are dealing with, the killing of black men every week, every other day, the incarceration of black men, the unjust sentencing, gentrification, the removal of black people from urban centers across this country, that all of this is the face of racism, white supremacy. And black people have to take the position. We're not going to be in the position of saying we forgive. No, what we're going to insist upon is, number one, that racism, white supremacy as a total system structure be recognized. And number two, when that system has been brought to an end and replaced with a system of justice, then the consideration of forgiveness, if that won't even be in order, because the system of injustice will have been removed and a system of justice established. Now, that's my position as a black psychiatrist, and I would say that I'm certainly recommending that as important for black people's mental health in this system, that the foundation of the position is that we are going to have respect for ourselves second to none. And instead of denying and making apologies for the system of racism, white supremacy, that we are going to hold people who classify themselves as white, because the only reason for the white classification is to take advantage of the established and structured system of racism, white supremacy, and that we are going to hold people who classify themselves as white responsible. We're not going to spend any time hating white people, but we are going to hold every person who classifies him or herself as white responsible for changing the system. If they want to take a position that they're not racist, well, then stop the people who classify themselves as white, who are. Don't come and join black people. Take the John Brown position and stop the people who are engaging in the practice of racism, white supremacy. And, you know, that's not just calling somebody nigger or the N-word if you want to play euphemisms. But no, the system of racism, as stated by Neely Fuller, functions in all areas of people activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion.
Thanks for listening. Remember to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Google, Anchor, Spotify, and Facebook. Also, don't forget to like, share, and comment on the podcast. Your opinion of what you just heard is important to the platform. So yes, beloved, your comments are the engine and fuel to the machine. Stay blessed and have a powerful day.